Just some scheduling purposes. Mr. Shem, next Sunday we will have a shiur on Inyone Shavuos. I know Inyone Shavuos is hard to know what that means. But believe the next week we're going to be discussing an interesting shayla in Lomdis about the chiyuv to be mechabit talmidei chachamim. What's the pshat in the mitzvah of kibbutz talmidei chachamim? So that's scheduled for Mr. Shem next Sunday at our regular time. If anyone is still wondering why we have not returned to in-person learning, so just to be clear, I tried from when the time that vaccines came out early January, I tried desperately to get some. I was eligible because I teach in the yeshiva. My wife was zeicha to get because she works in the public school. And I was not eligible, I was not able to find vaccines in those months. And then I got sick on Purim. And I have to wait 3 months until I can get the vaccine. So 3 months is up around right after Shavuos. So my plan is, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, is to get the vaccine after Shavuos, and then to be able to return right after that Zman of Hamtana, the waiting period is up. So I'm hoping to even get Johnson & Johnson so I can save 2 weeks and not have to wait a whole month to get the next two. So I'm hoping that we should be back towards the end of June, early July. So I guess we'll have to bear with it for a few more weeks, but that's the reason why we have not returned to in person. Again, that's the Young Israel's policy, and we will respect it as we have till now.
Is somebody not vaccinated allowed to come in?
I don't know what the rules are. I think you have to wear a mask then. But I think in that case you'd have to wear a mask, but I'm not 100% sure what the rules are. I'm sure Michael or Stewie will
Chaim, I'll send you the email from the Young Israel, okay?
Whatever their policy is, but I feel just the antibodies will be good enough. It's not good enough, so that's why we've been delayed a little bit. And when I got sick, I was so excited that now we can come back to in-person learning, but the Young Israel does not treat the antibodies the same as it does the vaccine, so Mitzvah Hashem, it will have to wait a few more weeks. Just very kitzur on the parasha, there's a vart that I said over in the parasha share this week. I don't know how many people listened or didn't listen, but it's a vart that I think is very relevant to the oilam that's in our shir. For those who join us on Sunday morning, I think it's a very important vart. I heard this vart first from Rabbi Simon many years ago, and I actually looked it up this year in the Sefer Mor V'Shemesh. The Mor V'Shemesh was a 18th century Talmud Chacham. His name was Kleinemus Kalman Epstein. I'm pretty convinced he's related to my Rebbe, because my Rebbe is Kleinemus Kalman Epstein, who's a Levi. And this Kleinemus Kalman's father was Aaron. My Rebbe's father's name was Aaron, so there must be Mishpacha somewhere along the way. But in any case, he points out in the first pasuk in the parasha, "Im michukoy say tilecha v'smitzmoy say tishmaru v'asisa maysam." So he says, "Pshat on the pasuk is not im michukoy say if you'll keep my chukim, but rather if b'shvil chukoy say." He learns pshat on the pasuk is that if a person is going tilecha, he's going to work, he's doing what he needs to do. Why b'shvil chukoy say? He's doing it so he should be able to pay to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. We all know it's very expensive to be an Orthodox Jew. Being from today is not cheap. Tuition costs money, and food costs money, and especially if you live in the Jewish community, the homes cost money. So zok the Torah in bechukaisa teilechu, if the only reason why you go to work every day is because of my chukim, because you want to be able to afford the kosher meat, you want to be able to afford the kosher groceries, then zok the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then v'nasati yigish mechem beitam, then I will bless you with produce, and I will bless you with the rain, then you're going to get all those brachas, because you know why, says the Mor V'Shemesh? Because you're only working so you can have what to live. And I know it's not what you really want to do. You'd rather be learning, but you have to make a parnasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll make it easier for you. I'll give you what you need to live so you can get back to what your real passion is, what you really love to do, which is learning. So he has a whole new pshat in the pasuk. It's such a different outlook. Im chukai se teilechu means if because of your chukim teilechu, that's why I have to go out and go to work. That's mitzvah se tishmer, and I want to keep your mitzvahs because it's so hard to be religious and to be frum if you don't have money. So then zok the Torah, v'nasati yigish mechem beitam, and then I will talk and bless you with all the brachas of the parsha. And he quotes from the Chafetz Hashem, from the Arachayim HaKadosh, who points out, in the Hadrin that we say at Asim, we say, Anu Amelim Vehim Amelim. We toil and they toil. We toil and we get reward, and they toil and they don't get reward. So the Chafetz Hashem asks the obvious question. Why should they get reward if they don't toil? Anu Amelim, we toil, we get reward. They don't toil, and what are they toiling in? They're not toiling and learning. So of course they're not going to get Tzchar. What's the Chiddush? So he says beautifully, he says, no, Anu Amelim doesn't mean in learning. Anu Amelim means we're umul in our job. The Heim Amelim, and they're umul in their job. Right? Two people go to work, they sit the cubicles away from each other, and I'm plugging away at my job, and he's plugging away at his job, but I'm getting schar for it. Every minute that I'm at work doing my job, I'm getting schar. Why? Because I'm only going to work so I can keep Torah mitzvahs. while the guy next to me is going to work so he can make a lot of money, so he can buy another boat, another car, go on vacation. So Zokta, it's beautiful. Anu Amelim, we're toiling at work. We get work. We get schar for going to work. But they're toiling at work. They're not getting any schar for that. Why? Because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. We're going to work so we can support a family, so we can live a frum lifestyle. And the other guy next to me is going to work because whatever other reason, he enjoys it, or he wants to make a lot of money, or things like that. So I think it's such a beautiful vart. It's such a chizik for those that don't get to spend their day learning as much as they'd like to, but realize that that's also kiyumat Torah. A person spends his day doing, working so he could provide for his family, so he could be able to help out. So that's avada. That's what the pasuk is referring to at the beginning of the parasha. Okay, our learning today should be for Refuah Shleima for Zahava Esther Bat Zelda Sonia, who needs Refuah Shleima, as well as David. Are you on?
Yeah, Esther Sarah Bas.
Esther Sarah Baschai Pesta, Beserch Shal Chayisrael, Chaim Yishu Ben Hendel, as well as all the other Cholim that need our tefillas so badly. Okay, if everyone remembers what we're holding, I really want to wrap up this sugya today because next Sunday, Mitzvah, we're going to have Shuas, so we'll be taking a break from our regular sugya, and then I want to get back into a new sugya. Just to recap what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing a Shiloh about what is the reality of a Mamzer Kohen. Again, the Gemara said in Kedushin that the way you produce a mamzer is basically from chayv ikrisus. If two people have a relationship and produce a baby, and they're chayv ikrisus is anyone like a relative, a brother and a sister live together and they produce a baby, that baby is a mamzer. But then there's a whole other parasha called cholo. Cholo is a parasha that when a kohen lives with a woman that he's not allowed to because of his kohunic status, that produces a baby called a cholo. It's a whole different metzias. Now the Gemara says a cholo is zor l'chol davar. If a kohen lives with a woman he's not supposed to, and he produces a baby, that baby is not a kohen at all. It's a zar l'chol davar, it's a regular Yisrael. So the question we started to talk about the last couple of weeks was, what happens when a mamzer is produced from a kohen? Let's say, for example, a kohen lives with his sister. So his sister is not a kohuna iser, his sister is a chavi krisis. So the baby is a mamzer. The question is, what status does the baby have? Is this baby a kohen mamzer? Or those two things are a stira. You can't be a kohen mamzer. Either you're a kohen or you're a mamzer. You can't be both. Meaning, is Kedushas Kohuna stripped away from this mamzer because of his mamzerish status? Or do we say no? The parasha in the Torah that strips away the status is only by a cholo. That's if a kohen lived with a woman he's not allowed to live with from Kohuna purposes, that makes him a cholo, and a cholo means he loses all Kedushas Kohuna. But if he's a mamzer, that's a whole different category. And because it's a whole different category, maybe not. So we talked last week, just to chazer a little bit, we talked last week about the shita of the Beis Shmuel versus the Taz. We mentioned it seems to be a machlokes acharonim, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel, the Chalkas Mechoikik versus the Taz. The Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechoikik both assume for Davar Poshet that a mamzer kohen has absolutely no kedushas kohuna. Garnished but garnished, he's a czar. So let's say, for example, a guy lives with an ervo. He produces, again, not a kohuna ervo. He lives with a real ervo. A guy lives with his aunt, right? Fine, lives with his aunt, lives with his sister. He produces a baby. That baby is no kohuna at all. His father's a kohen. This baby's not a kohen. He doesn't get the first aliyah. Right now in Eretz Yisrael, they're dealing with this mess about this imposter. This guy who's an imposter, moil. So we learned some of the sugyas in our Beloz of the Mila a few years ago. What do you do when you botch up a Mila? How do you fix a Mila? They have to fix the Sifrei Torah. There's a lot of things that they're going to have to fix because of this matzav in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Because he was an imposter. And he fooled everyone. My brother, Grata, lives in the neighborhood, not far from this fellow. And he told me, my sister-in-law told me that they seemed a little off, but no one ever in a million years thought, you know, this far that they're mamish imposters, Christian imposters. But in any case, it's a crazy story. But so if you have a situation where the baby is not right, so that's a cholo. Cholo is totally a Yisrael gomer. No pidyon aben, meaning he can't accept pidyon aben. That was the problem with this imposter kohen. He accepted pidyon abens. He's not a kohen. He can't do pidyon aben. He gave bris milah. He's not kosher to do bris milah. He's a goy. We actually learned the sugyas about this. What happens if a goy does bris milah? We talked about a lot of these shals that they're dealing with now in Eretz Yisrael. So again, it just shows us that everything we learned is obviously always halacha l'maaseh some way or another. But in any case, so if a kohen lives with a woman who's an issa kohuna, so that baby is Yisrael gomer. That baby has no kohunic status. But what about a mamzer? So the Beis Shmuel Mechalkas Mechoikik assume that if a baby is produced from an illegitimate marriage between a kohen and any one of the chayvei krisus, which produces mamzeris, the baby is a mamzer, and a mamzer is not a kohen. He loses all his kohunic status. However, the Taz wasn't so sure. The Taz, depending on how you learn the Taz, there's a machloikis between the Minchas Chinuch and the Chazinish, how to learn the Taz. We'll learn the Taz like the Chazinish. It makes things a little bit more simple, maybe. Well, not more simple, but easier for us. It makes it more lumdish. The way the Minchas Chinuch learned the Taz is the Taz wasn't sure. The Taz was not sure what is the status of a Mamzer Koyin. Is a Mamzer Koyin allowed to eat Truma? Is a Mamzer Koyin not allowed to become Tamei Meis? The Taz was misupik about everything. The Chazanish learned the Taz not like that. The way the Chazanish learned the Taz, and again, as Seth pointed out, it depends where you put the Kama. The way that the Chazanish learned the Taz was saying like this: Avada, Avada, a Mamzer Koyin is allowed to eat Truma. He's a Ben Koyin, he's allowed to eat Truma. But what about being the Tam of the Mesim and other things? Then the Taz wasn't sure. So the way the Chazanish learned the Taz is harder to be Masber and Lomdis, but maybe reads a little better in the Lashon of the Taz. It was that the Taz split the Halachas. He said, well, when it comes to the Sugya of Truma, Avada, this Mamzer Koyin gets to eat Truma. He's not a Chol. So if he's not a Chol, he's allowed to eat Truma. However, Zok the Taz, but when it comes to things like being the Tam of the Mesim and other types of Tumah, I'm not sure. So the big cash that we had on the Taz was why draw such a distinction? Memarvshach. If he's a Kayin, he's a Kayin. If he's not a Kayin, he's not a Kayin. What this splitting here is over here? Well, he's a Kayin, the guy with this, and not a Kayin, the guy with that. So we mentioned last week a Mahalach that we were working with of the Sugya, off of the Sugya of Tzuadaka. We mentioned that there's another area in Halacha where a Kayin becomes a little bit of a complicated situation. The sugya of a Ptsuadaka. What's a Ptsuadaka? Ptsuadaka is a coin that has crushed, destroyed testicles, or whatever else is crushed down there. So he's not allowed to marry B'kahal. So he's not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. But Shulchan Aruch Paskind, he's allowed to marry a Grusha. He's allowed to marry a Grusha. Even though normally a coin is not allowed to marry a Grusha, it's allowed in the Torah. However, a Ptsuadaka is allowed to marry a Grusha. So we had another Machloikis Achroin, and well, is the coin also allowed to be Metama LeMason? Is this a reference? Is this megala to us that he's really not a kohen? I mean, you say to yourself, from the fact that he's allowed to marry out of the fold, he's allowed to marry a grusha. That's a rai. He's nishkin kohen because a kohen can't marry a grusha. If you find me a kohen who's allowed to marry a grusha, the Torah says he's not a kohen. So the Torah says if he's not a kohen, then he's not a kohen for anything. So we saw that some achrayim the chalkas mechayki gasum like that. The chalkas mechayki gasum. He's not a kohen. He's not a kohen. Go home. He's not a kohen. Just like a kohen mamzer is not a kohen. A Ptsuadaka Kohen is not a Kohen. But there was only one problem. The Mishnah says in Yevamis that a Ptsuadaka Kohen eats Truma. So how are you going to be mazbe that? Meaning, Bishlamo, if you're going to tell me that a Kohen can be have Kedush like the Taz. You can have a Shtikl Kedushas Kohuna in one area and not Kedushas Kohuna in another area. Good, so you'll tell me it's Kishmak. He has a Shtikl Kedushas Kohuna, he's allowed to eat Truma, but he doesn't have Kedushas Kohuna, so he's allowed to marry a Grusha and he's allowed to be Metam LeMeis. But if you hold like the other Achrayim, there's no such splitting. If you're not a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. So how do you justify why this fellow's a Ladi Chuma? And he is a Ladi Chuma, there's no question. A Ptsuadaka is a Ladi Chuma, it's a Mishnah. So how do you justify it? So we saw last week that the Taz threw in a line over here that he wanted to say that Achilas Chuma is not a Raya to one's Kohunic status. Why? Because Eved eats Chuma, and Eved Kanani eats Chuma. Kikinyan Kasbayu, something that belongs to the Kohen is also a Ladi Chuma. So we mentioned this, and this is what we were talking about last week a lot, that whether or not Achilas Truma is a Raya that you have Kedushas Kuhuna. Why? Because there are people that get to eat Truma and they don't have Kedushas Kuhuna. First of all, the biggest example would be daughters. Benois Aaron, Bnei Aaron, the girls of Kuhuna are allowed to eat Truma also. They don't have Kedushas Kuhuna, Haraya, they're allowed to be Metama LeMeisim. So L'chari, you're going to have to say that the din of Achilas Truma is not totally Kedushas Kuhuna. What is it Tali in? So we said last week it might be Tali in closeness, a shaykhis, a tfelus, a secondary. Well, I said it 2 weeks ago, it might have to do with being part of the family of the Kohen. But it's clearly not because of Kedushas Kuhuna. So one of the rayas that we brought was Ptsuadaka. Ptsuadaka is not allowed to marry, is allowed to marry Grusha. He's allowed to be Metam LeMeisim. He's not allowed to do Pidyon HaBenz. But he's allowed to eat Truma. What's the pshat? The Teretz is Achilas Truma is not Tali in Achilas Truma is Bechlal, not Tali in Kedushas Kuhuna. So that's where we left off last week. We left off last week, we're in the middle of this machloikas achroinim, to how are we supposed to understand a mamzer, a kohen mamzer. Now, the problem with all that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks is it's against the Gemara. Now, this is the classical yeshivish way of learning. You don't see all the Gemaras in Shas, so you just know what you see. Then you come across a Gemara and it smacks you in the face. What do you do with the Gemara? So let's take a look together, number one, at Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says like this: Amar Reb Yosef, Amar Reb Shimon Berebi, Hakol Moedim Bebal Chayv Krisus Shal Vlad Pogum. Everyone holds that if you boil a Chayv Krisus, the Vlad's a Pogum. What does it mean to be Pogum? I mean, pogam is not like a mamzer; it's a different status. But the blood, the vlad of pogam, it's affected. So the Gemara says, "Man, who's hakol moedim? Who's hakol moedim?" That's the Gemara, Rabbi Shua. It's going according to Rabbi Shua. The Alpha gav the Amar Rabbi Shua ein mamzer mechayvi krisis. Rabbi Shua has a very interesting opinion. He holds that chayvi krisis does not produce mamzer. So according to him, if a brother lives with his sister, so what's the baby? The baby's a kosher. Says the Gemara, no. Nihi de mamzer lehave pogam miyahave. He holds that any chanami, whenever a chayvi krisis is involved, the baby becomes pogum. The baby becomes affected. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? Mi kavachoymer me almona. It's got to be a kavachoymer from almona legrusha. Almona lekoyin gadol. Uma almona lekoyin gadol shein isura shava b'chol. If madach the isur of a koyin gadol to an almona is not isur for everyone, it's only usur for an almona to a koyin gadol. Still, but no pogum, the son gets affected. It means the son becomes a cholol. Zush is surah shava because the case of mamzeris, case of chayvi krisis, which is also to everyone, no one is allowed to marry this sister. Bishlam by almon le kohen gadol, the almon is not the problem. Almon is mother to everyone else except for the kohen. And still, when she meets up with a kohen gadol, the baby becomes a cholol. Zush is surah shava because ain't a din shapnoa pogum. So zok to gemara avada, the child is going to become pogum. So what do you see from this gemara? You see that whenever you have chayvi krisis in the equation, the baby does become affected. What does it mean the benot to become pogum? So the benot pogum means it loses its kedushas kahuna. So the chayr is same thing in our gemara. So when a kohen lives with a chayvi krisis, the baby becomes pogum anyways. Pogum means the baby becomes a cholo. So then it's a raya against everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. The gemara seems to be saying beforeish, based on a kavu chaymer, that when a chayvi krisis come together, the baby has to become affected. And we keep on saying, no, the baby's not affected, the baby still has Kedushas Kuna. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mephorish, that the baby becomes a pogum. What pogum? It becomes like a Amon L'Kohen Gadol. What's a Amon L'Kohen Gadol? A Cholo. What's a Cholo? No Kedushas Kuna. So L'Chaira, this Gemara should be a Mephorish Araya, that if a Kohen were to live with a Chayvi Krisis, the baby would have the status of a pogum. If the baby would have the status of a pogum, so then the baby would become no Kedushas Kuna. So if the baby has no Kedushas Kuna, then the last 2 weeks have been a conversation. It doesn't make any sense. We've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, does it have Kedushas Kuna for some things and Kedushas Kuna for other things? What do you mean? The Gemara says beforeish. The Gemara says the baby becomes a pogum. Pogum means the baby's a cholo. Cholo means there's no Kedushas Kuna. So what's been the last 2 weeks? So have I sold everyone a faulty information for the last 2 weeks? So the answer is no, I did not. Believe it or not, I did not. Why? Because as a machloikis, we show him how to learn this Gemara. Rashi sheet is in this Gemara. Interesting. Rashi says, right under number one, Rashi says, Shavlat pogum, v'im yolda bas, psulo l'kuhuno kechalala. Rashi learns, again, I'm not going into why, because it's really beyond our sugya. Rashi learns that this Gemara was not referring to the boys born, only the girls born. According to Rashi, this kavah chomer only gets you to as far as the status of a girl. Meaning the kohen lives with his sister. That's a chayvi krisis. He produces a baby girl, so now that baby girl is not allowed to marry a kohen. But nothing affects the boys. It only affects the girls. So then, according to me, this Gemara is not a contradiction to the last 2 weeks. Why? Because the last 2 weeks we were talking about a boy born from such a relationship. Rashi learns this Gemara that the Gemara is only referring to a girl. The Rambam, based on...
This is the only according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara is only according to Rabbi Yeshua. Everybody else of old Paga means even a mamzer.
No, but according to our Gemara, we were talking about a mono. I'm sorry, one more time. What's the cheshbon?
Cheshbon is the Gemara is talking about who's the one that says this? Rabbi Yeshua.
Right.
So Rabbi Yeshua would say it becomes that kavah chomer, but everybody else would hold pogum means even a mamzer.
And therefore, what?
It's only Rabbi Yeshua that's a problem. Everybody else would not be a problem put into what we were learning all along.
Okay, according to everyone else, the baby's a mamzer straight up.
Yeah.
And you're assuming that a mamzer does... Yeah, and therefore what?
And therefore everything we said. We have a whole shayla whether mamzer is considered not a kohen or not.
But wouldn't this kavah chomer automatically make
the... Pulling him a pogum, the Gemara says that everybody's mind that it's a pogum. It means at least a pogum according to Rabbi Yeshua. Everybody else could say it's a mamzer.
Right, but shouldn't this kavah chomer follow through and tell me that you'd have to treat the baby like a cholo?
According to Rabbi Yeshua, but everybody else, you don't have to say that.
Why not? If the kavah chomer is right, shouldn't that be the case?
No, it's at least a pogum, a cholol, according to everybody else. But in this case, with a brother and a sister, it'll be even a mamzer.
No, but according to Bishua, you can't produce a mamzer from chayvi krisis. But the Gemara says it doesn't matter. Even though you can't produce a mamzer, you're going to at least produce a cholol. So you see from the Gemara that whenever you have a situation of a mamzer, it at least has the status of a cholol. So that means in our case, with a brother lives with his sister, he should produce a chol. So if he produces a chol, then there's no shailas of what's its status. That was the cheshbon. Okay, the truth is the Beis Shmuel learns in the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't hold it as kavachomer anyways. So if you don't hold it as kavachomer, so then our shir is still back up irrelevancy. Now, let's go back to Ptsua Daka for a second. Again, what did we say? We had a kash on the Taz. The Taz says that a mamzer eats truma, but he doesn't have necessarily all the other kedushas kuhuna. So we said, where do you find such a chelik? So we said, let's turn to Ptsua Daka. Ptsua Daka is an example of a kohen that loses kedushas kuhuna, but still is able to eat truma. So what's everyone else answer for Ptsua Daka? So Tainer over here, this Eitz Chaim, this was this kuntres I found printed by Bobov. He writes, it's not a kasha. Why? He says, he says, 1 second. Why is a mamzer not allowed to eat truma? Is the mamzer not allowed to eat truma because of this kal v'chomer? The kal v'chomer says he has to become a cholol. So then zoktim loy kasha. Then there's no kasha from Ptsua Daka. Why? Because Ptsua Daka does not have this kal v'chomer to pass him. Avolim etzim ha-mamzeris asrasoi. Again, we had a kasha last week from what's the difference between a Ptsua Daka and a mamzer. If a mamzer is allowed to eat truma, if a mamzer is not allowed to eat truma, let's say according to the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechoikik, because he has no Kedushas Kuhuna, so why is a Ptsua Daka allowed to eat truma? So he's pointing out, well, it depends why a mamzer is not allowed to eat truma. If you hold a mamzer is not allowed to eat truma because you hold the lost Kedushas Kuhuna, so then you have Takash Taka Kasha by Ptsua Daka. Ptsua Daka also lost his Kedushas Kuhuna, so why is he allowed to eat Truma? But if you learn the reason why a Kain Mamzer is not allowed to eat Truma, it's not because he loses Kedushas Kuhuna, but it's from the above Kavachimer. Kavachimer may model the Kain Gogol that he has to become Cholol. You don't have the Kavachimer by Ptsua Daka. So if you don't have that Kavachimer by Ptsua Daka, so it's Nishin Kasha, why a Ptsua Daka is allowed to eat Truma. It's an interesting observation. But Rabbi Chanan.
The fact that a Cholol can't eat Truma, is that an onesh? Because if it's an onesh, then you can't learn that out of a kavachomer.
Yeah, I saw some people want to tie into something along those lines. So I saw some people want to tie in. Yeah, I saw such a svar.
That's your status. And what, you know, once you have a status of a cholol, then that just flows from that.
That's what I would have assumed. That's what I would have been my initial feeling. Not so much b'teiris einish, but b'teiris, you know, this is the status that you're in. Rabbi Chanan in Kovitz Aris has an interesting chiluk between a Ptsua Daka and a mamzer. Very interesting chiluk. He writes in number 4, the Efshu Loima, Zokta B'chonon, the Afilu L'Hachman Da'omar Ptsua Daka Eina Doima L'Shar Psulei Kahal. Zokta B'chonon, you can't compare Ptsua Daka to all other Psulei Kahal, let's say, for example, like a Mamzer. Why? Zokta B'chonon, the whole Psulei Kahal Nifka Kedushas L'Yelim. Says B'chonon, a regular Psul Kahal, you lose your Kedusha. Forever. Avo Ptsua Daka Ein Psula El L'Shaitoi. Says B'chonon, Ptsua Daka is a time based chesaron, dim yuchal lesrap as yuchzal lehechsheru. Zot habachonan, meaning you can change his status. You can change the status of a ptsua daka if he gets medically fixed and he comes back to being regular. Zot habachonan, dim yuchal lesrap as yachzal lehechsheru. Kedetanya nikov pasul nistam kasher. It must, if there's a hole, then he's pasul. This time, if it closes up, it's kasher. V'zeu psul shechayz lehechsheru. This is a type of psul that will come back to being kasher one day. Kedetanya nikov pasul nistam kasher. After mutter b'shaitei b'mamzeris, even though right now while he's still a ptsua daka, he's mutter b'mamzeris. The ain loy kedushas kahal achshav mikomakam ain zu hafka. So Rabbi Chanan is saying an interesting lomdus. So Rabbi Chanan is saying is that avada right now this guy practically loses kedushas kuhuna, but it's not forever. He's not mufka from the parsha. He's like temporarily, you know, sidelined. No, he's like a guy that's on the DL. He's on the DL. He's still on the team. As opposed to the guy that they write him off for the season, you have such a guy gets injured, and they say, forget it, we take you off the roster for the season. He's not off the roster, he's on the roster. Right now, technically, he's on the DL because he's unable to do what he needs to do. But he's be'etzim still in the parishes of the B'chonah. The Evil says, B'chonah, that's why he can eat Shuma. Bishlom is someone who's completely removed from the parish of Kuhuna. He taka can eat Shuma. But we don't look at a Ptsua Daka like that, says Rabbi Chanan. Ptsua Daka is more looked at someone, again, even though statistically he might never get repaired, he might never get a refuah, he might stay like this forever, who knows? But Vibal says Rabbi Chanan, it's possible that his mum can be passed, it can pass, it can be fixed. Therefore, Zot Rabbi Chanan, and that's why he's allowed to eat truma. Then he writes even further, Zot Rabbi Chanan, V'nira, di'ilu ha'yefshel etzayi v'ptsua daka psul she'elidu l'abonim. Zot Rabbi Chanan, Givaldik, what would happen if a Ptsua Daka can have children, what would the status of those children be? The kids would be kosher. Even though he's allowed to marry a mamzeres, the kivin du psul achoyz lachshere ain't a psul banov. So that's a bchana gavald gechidish. This psul daka chasarin is not passed down to the next generation. Why? Because there's nothing really wrong with him. He's not intrinsically puzzle. He's puzzle because he has a technical problem. So in that technical problem, if and well, it will be fixed. They'll make him back a bikahal. So if he produces a baby that does not have his blemish, the baby's kosher. So that's a bchana. It's gerai that he's not a psul beetzer. The kibun du psul achoyz lachshere ain lifsul banov who adin de mafkia mekdushes kohun. Where Rabbi Chana concludes, but I don't have the sugya as clear as I would have liked it. So Rabbi Chana wants to suggest a very lomdish teretz. Rabbi Chana wants to suggest that the kasha is not a kasha from Ptsua Daka. What do we have our kasha? Our kasha was that if you hold that a kohen mamzer is not allowed to eat truma because he loses all kedushas kahuna, how do you explain the Ptsua Daka? Why is a Ptsua Daka allowed to eat truma? The answer is Rabbi Chana, because he doesn't lose kedushas kahuna. A Ptsua Daka is a different reality. A Ptsua Daka is a temporarily sidelined kohen. And Rabbi Chana says, I'll prove it to you, because his psul is not passed on to the next generation. Therefore, says Rabbi Chana, that's a raya, that's not really a psul. Then on the footnote... okay. Good. I see I stirred a tumble over here. I'm sorry, yeah? David, go first.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure who's talking first. I'm trying to see on the boxes.
Is the psul a cosmetic one or a productive one? So if you're going to have a child, then what's the psul?
Okay, we'll get to that in a second in the footnote. How is it possible for a psul daka to have a baby?
Also,
exactly. We'll get to that in a second, guys.
That's what I was going to say, is that if a psul daka produces a child, then they're not a psul daka.
Very good. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, now it must be legitimate.
We'll see in a second. Well, a doctor said it. Now it's got to be. We'll see in a second. That's the footnote.
And we have a lawyer to represent him for malpractice.
So we're good to go. We have a doctor and a lawyer. We need an accountant, and we're all good to go. We got all the Jewish industries covered.
Sorry that I can't help with that, Rabbi, but I don't understand how, according to Rabbi Chanan, is he going to learn Pashup Shot in the Pasuk, Lo Yavoo Ptsua Daka B'Kal Hashem? It doesn't say, you know, oh, you could come back. It says you can't come back, period.
Right, he's talking about, again, he's allowed, he's right now in the matzav that he's in, he's lo yovel b'kahal Hashem. He's not allowed to marry a mamzer. He's not allowed to marry anyone in kahal Hashem right now, 100%. The pasuk reads very simply, right now, b'asher husham, lo yovel b'kahal Hashem.
But the minute he gets misrapa, he can come back.
Right, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, but Rabbi Chanan's chiddush is that even now, when he can't be b'kahal Hashem, he's still not considered a mufka mikdushas kuhuna. That's Rabbi Chanan's chiddush. So if you look in the footnote, I'll try to make it bigger over here. If you look in the footnote, he writes like this. He says, "Ayin b'mi'ir," this is from his son. "Ayin b'mi'ir b'daf ayin vav, shekaza de b'tzua daka v'kroshuvcha b'neim chayim l'kohol." The Meiri writes this before. I mean, Rabbi Chanan said it theoretically. That theoretically, if a Ptsua Daka has a baby, his baby are called. It's a Meforish in Meiri. The Meiri says Meforish, that the children of a Ptsua Daka and a Krushuch, I think means even more, crushed, that the kids are kosher. Shari Leimono Behem Dairis. Because it never says by Ptsua Daka that it's a Isra Dairis. Omnam Dvorm Tmuin. Da Ptsua Daka in Yachal Hoyel. Abafrek to his son. Well, the whole thing is irrelevant. What's the Meiri talking about? The Meiri says that the children from a Ptsua Daka are kosher li Yisrael. It's an impossibility. How do you produce children? They can't have children. So he writes over the sheet that's halavosh the Ptsua Daka b'tzua b'bei achaz yochel hoylid umikom makom pasul also shap. He wants to tell you that maybe if you hold like the lavosh. The lavosh shows if only one of the testicles are ruined, so you can still have a baby, but you still have the din of a Ptsua Daka. Okay, so that's the answer to the question. The answer is that he only has one testicle that's not functioning. So therefore, he's able, again, I don't, for our doctors listening, I don't know which one is the one you need to produce children with, but...
either one.
Either one? Okay, good. Either one. So once he has one functioning testicle, so he can produce children. Zakhtar Bukhanan, if he can produce children, those children are kosher. Okay.
But how is the Ptsua Daka different from any other Balmum? And a Balmum could eat kutchim. Now, it seems like we're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, moms are the Ptsua Yichus. Here we're talking about physical defects which have nothing to do with it.
But that's really a kash on the Torah. You're asking a good question. You're asking why was the Torah so stark on someone who basically just has a physical blemish that, according to this, doesn't even prevent them from having children. It's a kash on the pasuk. Why is the Torah so stark?
Well, Rav Chanan is trying to bring a raya from Ptsua Daka to Mamzer, but they're apples and oranges.
No, not right. He's trying to contrast. Rav Chanan is trying to contrast the two. He wants to say that a Ptsua Daka is more cosmetic, And that's why when he'll get fixed, he'll be able to come back. Is a raya. He's never really mufka, as opposed to a mamza that's taka mufka from Kedusha's kuna.
Right.
But you asked me good cash. I never thought about it.
Then why not bring up Baal Mum then, right? I mean...
Right. The fee, what you're saying is, it's really like, Kurosh Shufka is really just no different than a Baal Mum, who can actually produce. So why is the Torah so stark on him? Oh, Lo Yavah B'Kal Hashem. Why not? What's so bad about him? Why is he so, excommunicated from the Kedushas of Kahuna? It's a good kasha. But, in our sugya, this is Rebbe Chonan's chiluk to answer off from Petzu Daka. Now there's Gevaldgim in Chaschinuch over here, which we were supposed to get to last week. The Menachas Chinuch was based off a medrash in last week's parsha. In last week's parsha, the Tesefta, I think it's a medrash, a Tesefta, a Sefra maybe, the medrash says, it says in parsha's Emma that who's a kain allowed to become a tamitu? So it says in the pasuk, Avivu limoi, right, to his father and his mother, lo yitama, lo yitavav. To him, to them, they could become tame. So a kain is allowed to be metame to his parents. So the Tesefta, Menachas Chinuch quotes it over, he writes, Nevor b'Sefra, The Sifra says that the Torah had to tell me that I'm allowed to be matama to my father. Why? Because I would have thought maybe I'm not allowed to be matama to my father. Why would I not be allowed to be matama to my father? Because how do I know he's really my father? This is my father. This is before, you know, paternity tests. Had Bishlam and my mother. I know she's my mother because she gave birth to me. I came out of her. But how do I know he's my father? Mechitesi, he's the father. The Teretz is based on a chazaka. What's the chazaka? The chazaka is my mother. Didn't have an illicit relationship. So Frekta Sifra, that's why the Torah had to write explicitly that you're allowed to be metamah to your father, because otherwise I would have thought it's only chazaka. Maybe chazaka doesn't beat out an issa deraisa. It's up to Torah. Loviv, you're allowed to be metamah to your father. So it's up to Sifra. So on this Sifra, they bring a kasha from the Reed Tsarfas. The Reed Tsarfas is from the French. Tsarfas. He cried to me, for semes v'hi b'shalas chuvas Rashba. The Rashba has this kasha. What's the obvious kasha? I was waiting for someone to ask me this kasha. Again, what was the chashmin again? Without looking on the Marim Kermis. What was the chashmin? The chashmin was, if the Torah wouldn't have written, I'm allowed to be matamah to my father, I would have thought I'm not allowed to be matamah to my father. Why? Because Mechatesi is my father. How do I know he's my father? Prove to me. So the Torah had to tell me that you're allowed to be matamah to your father. So Frank, the Ritzarfas, I don't get it. On the tzad that he's not your father, no, what's the kicker? Okay.
Then you're not a
Kohen. Then you're not a Kohen. What's the problem? Frank the Ritzarfas, I don't get it. Lo Yitzur, this whole Cheshbon is right. He's not your father. Good. So he's not your father. And you're Nishkin Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, you're allowed to be matamah to anyone you want to be. So Frank the Menachas Chinuch, he quotes from this Ritzarfas, I don't get it. He writes over here, V'kosha. I'm like the fourth line in the number five. V'kosha. Im lav avivu, ain't a Kohen. Umut alatamis. So what's the kasha? So he has a whole list of terutzim over here, that different terutzim that they want to give. But that's the kasha. Nochma, what's the kasha? The kasha is, why do I need a special gzeis hakosev to tell me I'm allowed to be matamah to my father? Because otherwise I would have said I'm not allowed to be matamah because proof to me he's my father. But he gufa. If he's not my father, then why am I a kohen? But tainid d'ayni yomtiv, number six, 1 second. Tainid d'ayni yomtiv, not so fast. He says, harei muchach medivreim demamzer avshu b'noi shel kohen ein badin kuhn akal. Says that in Yom Tov, from this kasha of the Reed Tsarfas, we can bring a raya to our Shiloh. What's our Shiloh? Is a Koyin Mamzer allowed to be Mitame Lameisim? Meditah says he's not sure. The Chalkos Mechoikik and the Beishmul says, of course, he's not a Koyin. Says that in Yom Tov, we bring a raya from this kasha. What's the raya? The name of the Mamzer Yeshbedin Kuhun of Israel Thomas Lameisim, M.K. Makushal Hachrabasa. He says, 1 second, what's everyone's kasha on this Sifra? Everyone jumps on the Sifra. The Sifra said, if not for the pasuk of Aviv, I would have thought I'm not allowed to be matamah to my father because maybe he's not my father. And everyone jumps for the kasha. But if he's not your father, you're not a kohen. Frek to any gantif, not so fast. Why not? Maybe your mother was mizane with a kohen. Maybe anachrami. Your fake father is a kohen, and the guy your mother was mizane with was also a kohen. Frek to any gantif, memarvshach.
But Rabbi, 1 second. Why does this apply to everybody? In other words, that you know who the body is, right? So you see the nifter.
No. But I don't know if he's really my father or not.
Well, then the client never knows if it's really his father, which means that there has to be based on some kind of chazaka from the beginning. Otherwise, he's been eating truma and he's been
right. So that's the chiddush pasuk. So the sifra is telling me that without a pasuk telling me that, I would have had to assume not like that. I would have assumed that Chazak is not strong enough to allow you to be over an Isser.
Okay,
then a chazaka shouldn't be strong enough to let you behave as a kohen from the day your bar mitzvah.
Maybe an echanami. Maybe that for the true. It might be the same issue. It might be that we can't trust kedushas kohen with everything just based on a chazaka. An echanami. Maybe you're right. Again, over here the Torah is talking about being over a lav. For kohen to be metamel mason would be a lav. And the Torah is giving him permission to be metamet to who his supposed father is, because the Torah says you can rely on the chazaka. But the kasha was, what would be without this? Without this, we'd say you're not allowed to rely on the chazaka. And without this, he'd not be allowed to be metamet, because maybe he's not his father. But the kasha was, if he's not his father, then he can be metamet to him anyways. Because if he's not the son of a kohen, then he's not a kohen. If he's not a kohen, he can be metamet to anyone he wants. But says the Ein Yomtiv, not so fast. Says the Ein Yomtiv, once we're in an imaginary world, right, what's imaginary world? Meaning real world says chazaka. Chazaka dictates that the man that your mother claims is your father is probably your father. But there's a percent, there's a miut, that maybe he's not the father. Maybe she had an affair, and who knows who the father is. So says the Ein Yomtiv, in that imaginary world, you choshish lemiut, right? You choshish for the minority percentage. So says the Ein Yomtiv, maybe in that minority percentage, the guy she was mizan with was also a kohen. Obviously, in a normal world, you never think that, because the statistics are so low. But he says, but in this world, we're being chayshish lemito. So if we're being chayshish lemito, let's also be chayshish. Then maybe the guy that she was mizana with was also a kohen. So then what's your status?
But even if you want to be chayshish for that possibility, then at worst, he's a suffix mamzer. So mamzer vade, well, mamzer suffix.
So let's see. Zokta Ein Yomtiv. In kain. Ma koshul l'hanach rabbi. So what's the big kasha? Deletam l'meisim amon avshach. What was the kasha? Well, he should be allowed to become tameh either way. Either he's his father, and if he's not his father, then he's Yisrael. Says the Ein Yomtiv, not so fast. But the kivan the bahachava min adam min on the last lino basa rupo. Because in this point we're going that we don't use roiv. Roiv would be that the roiv men, roiv boys are a product of the supposed father. V'chashin adil molav avivu im kain beinu lemecha shemi imazin samikayim nesav be rishayin adav avla mamza. Why do you also have to be choshish? Maybe mom was mizane. She got pregnant from the first bia, and now the vlad's a mamzer v'loy cholo. The baby's not a cholo. V'yesh b'din kahuna v'asal tam l'meisim l'bal imoy shemes. And now he's not allowed to become tamei to his stepfather, the lav avivu, because it's not his father. U'midemakshi l'hanach rabbi se l'tamei marashach. Again, frek the Ein Yomtiv, why couldn't it have been that this baby has kedushas kahuna? How can this baby have kedushas kahuna? Because his real father was a kohen. His real father was a kohen who was mezana with his mother. And therefore, if you hold that a mamzer kohen has kedushas kahuna, he's still not allowed to be metamel meisim, and his father is tak only a suffolk. His alleged father is only a suffolk. And all the rishonim jump and say, no, that can't be. Tanit Ein Yomtiv, why not? I have a gevaldik situation. Says Ein Yomtiv, I have a cheshbon like this, that maybe the mother was mezana with a kohen, and this baby was a product of that illicit relationship. And therefore, the baby is tak a mamzer kohen. And a mamzer kohen is not allowed to be metamed to anyone else.
So Rabbi, why isn't that a fake sfeika though? She was mizana and maybe he was a kohen. That's two sfeikas there.
No, his point is that it's not two sfeikas. Is that once we're being chayish lemiutoi, it's not a suffix. Meaning once you're not using chazaka, what does it mean not to use chazaka? It means anything and everything could have happened. So if anything and anything could have happened, part of that anything and everything is that the neof, the mizana man, could have been a kohen. If you see him over here, that's not true. Because even if the dad would have been a kohen, and the baby would have then been chayvei krisus, a baby chayvei krisus has no kedushas kahuna. He's not allowed to become metame. So then the rishonim have a good kasha. The man of shach, the baby is able to be metame. The child. Why? Either this is really his father, and even if it's not really his father, he's not going to have any kedushas kahuna. Why? Because even if he was a product of the Znus Dika Kuhuna, we paskin that Znus Dika Kuhuna has no Kedushas Kuhuna. A very nice Ein Yomtiv to bring a raya to our sugya from the kashas of the Rishonim on the Sifra. Okay. It's a little bit of a Shtickle Torah, so, hopefully we got it clear. Now, let's see another Shtickle Rabbi Chonon. Another very geschmack Shtickle from Rabbi Chonon. Rabbi Chonon quotes a Chuvas Arashba. Ubishal Chuvas Arashba Simin Aleph Reish Ein, Reish Aleph. We mentioned a few weeks ago that the shaila of whether or not a baby produced from a mamzer, a baby produced from chayvei krisus, has kedushas kuna or not, is really a Rashba addresses this question. It's a stira in Rashba. So he quotes the Rashba. The Rashba says absolutely no kedushas kuna. Why? from the Gemara we start off with this morning. Almana l'kayin gadol, baby's a pogum. Av hocha, ala erev v'nisab b'bi rishayna ki v'dinas zayna b'na pogum l'kuhuna. V'zeo kashitas haramban shehevi arashba b'chidushav. Aval arashba hevi shom yushami zavka bas p'su l'kuhuna mekav v'chayim v'dalmana. But points are abochana not so fast. Many Rishonim hold that that Kal V'Chomer only works for girls, not for boys. So if the whole reason why a baby would be puzzled is because of the Kal V'Chomer, then it wouldn't work for a boy, which is what we spoke out in the beginning of the shiur today. But look at this line in Rabbi Chanan. So after Rabbi Chanan, V'lulei divi harashba. Says Rabbi Chanan, if not for this rashba, I'd say my own pshat. Do you know why a kohen has no kedushas kuna? Not because there's a kavachoyim from a monol kohen gadol. Totally different reason. The kivan the psul mamzeris mafkia mikdushas kahal says Rabbi Chanan because this baby is a mamzer. A mamzer is lo yava bikal Hashem. Kol shekain sheafkia mikdushas kahuna. Zog Rabbi Chanan, if you lose kedushas kahal, you can't retain kedushas kahuna. So Rabbi Chanan, it doesn't make any sense. If you tell me that this baby is this mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl, why? The teretz is because you lost a little bit of your Jewish Yisrael status. So how can you retain your kahuna status? Kahuna is like extra status, right? But if you lost basic status, how can you retain extra status? The male is like the bachon, there's nothing to talk about. The moment you lost kedushas Yisrael, you lost kedushas kahuna also. How can you have one without the other? Rabbi Chanan's aura is very stark. Rabbi Chanan's saying is that it doesn't make any sense to say that you can be called Kedushas Kuhuna when you don't even have Kedushas Yisrael. You know, it's...
Is that correct? Or you're full Kedushas Yisrael, but with a limitation on the marriage?
So that's what we can do. Rabbi Chanan's assuming that his raya, that he can't be married b'kal Yisrael, is a raya that he's losing Kedushas Kahal. If he loses Kedushas Kahal, he can't have Kedushas Kuhuna. You could debate that in the Chanami. And then Rabbi Chanan says, okay. He says you have to say that this according to the Rambam because the Rambam doesn't hold the Kav HaChomer. Fine. But Zok Tabuchon, look at the next paragraph. Gevaldik. Zok Tabuchon, V'nafke mina gedoyle bein shtei ha-taimim. Zok Tabuchon, I came over to Gevaldik and nafke mina to why you would knock out a Kohen Mamzer. Is a Kohen Mamzer knocked out because of the Kav HaChomer from Almona the Kohen Gadol? Or is a Kohen Mamzer knocked out because can it zayn that he retains Kedushas Kohen when he loses Kedushas Kohol? So Rabbi Chanan wants the nafkemina. The nafkemina gedolah ben shnei ha-taimim in Levi habal achosei v'hoyle ben. What happens if a Levi lives with his sister, and now he produces a mamzer? Does that Levi still have kedushas leviyah? We've been talking about kohen. What about a Levi? Let's say a Levi lives with his sister, and he produces a baby. That baby's a mamzer. It's chayvi krisus. It's poshut. But does that baby retain any kedushas leviyah? So Rabbi Chanan gishmak. It's totally in the two taimim that we said earlier. Why? He says, if the reason why the baby, a mamzer kohen, is pogum, is because of a kav v'chayim amonu l'kohen gadol, zok t'bachonan, that's only true by an amonu l'kohen gadol. It's got to be a psul kahuna. Ein ze shayich ela inyin kedushas kahuna v'leidin levir. That's not going to help you for a levi. V'im kein haba hu, im kein haben hu a levi mamzer. So then in that case, the levi, the ben would be a mamzer. But Zot HaBachon go the other way. But if the reason why your status is removed, because your Yisrael status is removed, so you have the same thing by the Levi. You can't be a Levi if you're not a Yisrael. So Zot HaBachon Gishmak, if the reason why a Mamzer Kohen is not called a Mamzer is because we have a special Kavachoyim, and that Kavachoyim says he needs to be affected, because it can't be that two people can live together and produce a regular baby. So fine, Zot HaBachon, that's true for a Kohen. But Zot HaBachon, but what about a Levi? A Levi doesn't have that. So is he talking that if a guy lives with his sister, produces a baby, the baby's a mamzer, but still has kedushas Levi? But Zot HaBachon, but if it's the other way, if it's my way, that it's a svara, you can't have kedushas kuhuna if you don't have kedushas Yisrael. So Zot HaBachon, you can't have kedushas Levi if you don't have kedushas Yisrael. So Zot HaBachon, according to him, it should come out that if a Levi were to live with his sister and produce a baby, the baby would also have no kedushas Levi. Very gishmakish to Kotaira. Another gishmakish to Kotaira from HaBachon HaWasman. Okay. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, the great Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Mishnah for Baron. We don't quote so much from Rabbi Aaron because his Shtuk Lach are very, very teeth and very detailed and very, very complicated. But Rabbi Chanan has one Ha'ara over here on our Sugya. Okay, what's our Sugya? Our Sugya is a Mamzer Kohen. Is a Mamzer Kohen allowed to eat Truma? So again, the guy, a Kohen, lives with his sister, produces a baby, the baby is a Mamzer. No one's arguing that. The Shaila just is, can this Mamzer eat Truma? So Rabbi Chanan wants to bring, Rabbi Aaron wants to bring a Raya that he cannot. What's his right? Number 8, Dr. Byron. It can't be. Can it zayn that a mamzer has kedushas kuhn? Why? The hine b'ksubis tafchav dal on the bed. There's a gemara in ksubis. The gemara says imalin mitruma liyuchsin. The gemara is talking about over there is if you see a guy eating truma, you don't know anything about his background, but you see him eating truma, so you say yourself, oh, he's eating truma. It's got to be a kohen because only kohen eats truma. So milin mitruma liyuchsin means that we raise a person up. His halachic status is due to his truma eating status. So Zokter Baron, 1 second. We're going to have a big problem over here. If it's possible for a mamzer kohen to eat truma, what's going to happen? You come into the dining room one day, you see a guy sitting there eating truma, you say to yourself, ah, he must be a kohen. But he's not, he's a mamzer. He's a mamzer kohen. So his eating truma is going to lead one to think that he's allowed to become the Kahal Yisrael. Chas b'shalom, he's a mamzer. So says Rabarin in Cain, Eich yitochem ha'alois mitrum al yuchsen. How could we ever have a din of mile trum al yuchsen? Ho'efshe duhu mamzer. Maybe he's really a mamzer. Af b'shu ochel b'truma. Meaning, time is Rabarin, if there's such a metzias to a mamzer coin being allowed to eat truma, then you have to throw out the whole Gemara in Subis. How can you ever use truma as a yardstick to measure anyone's kuhuna dika status? You can have a mamzer eating truma, and that's not a raya at all. What about?
You also have an Eved eating
truma. Very good, very good. That's the kash on Rabbi. Very good, very good. Okay, good. But let's just get Rabbi's shout out first. So Rabbi wants to suggest that because there's a din in the Gemara that we use the Achilas truma as a yardstick to measure his yichus, and over here that would backfire. Because over here, using that as a yardstick is b'chol not a riot. Elamai says Rabbi, it must be that that's not the way we measure. Oh, so Freck says, what are you talking about? That can't be true. And I talked to the founder of Menashe Klein, asked this kasha. I don't know how many times we've quoted Menashe Klein in a Sunday morning shir. We've quoted him very often in a Tuesday night shir, especially in the sugyas of Erevin. He's a heavy, heavy player in the sugyas of the community Erevin. But here, Menashe Klein asks his kash. He says, he quotes from a baron. He says that someone told him, Hashem of Aaron, Shehiksha al divras atah. He asks on the Taz. Va'amina, look at the next paragraph. Va'amina ano askufa hanidreses tachas offer kapis raglov. He says, I consider myself, you know, dust under his feet, meaning he's machni himself to a baron. But he says, the imishum holikashi. He says, but after all is said and done, I don't understand Rabaran's point. Why? Like Seth asked, Harry Pasha davodim nami yarechel b'truma kimavod perak oral. How can Achilas Truma be a raya liyuchsin completely? We know other people are allowed to eat Truma even though they don't have no din kahuna, like an Eved. It says in the Pasuk, V'koyin kiyikne kinyin kaspe v'umafurj b'tayra. V'afilu Eved shabarach, even if the Eved ran away, cause manashla in siyayishu b'ayim men oichu b'truma. Right, you can meet an Eved on the side of the road, and he's sitting there in a truck stop, and he's eating Truma, and the guy's nothing to do with kahuna, but he's a runaway Eved. So therefore, Zokter Menashe Klein, what's the right? What's Rabaron mean? Rabaron seems to be saying that if you're going to allow a mamzer kohen to eat truma, it's going to throw off yichos. But anyways, that can't be the way you learn the Gemara. Because if that's the case, what do you do with an Eved Kanani? So he writes over here, Ubi Gemara Gittin, Chaim Pirsha Rambam, all these people, the G'dayim Zukotzva Atayis is Gittin. Okay? So he says, so what's the pshat? V'hodol echashinu, mishamaylon liyuchsin, akoch mishamdol mechalkin lechuma, shleib ifnei rabbi. He says it must be that when Eved eats truma, he can only eat it with Nei Rabbi or other reasons. So therefore, Zokter Menashe Klein, this cannot be a hechocha because there's gotta be ways to dance around this problem, Zokter Menashe Klein. Because even Rabbi Aaron has to agree that there are situations where people eat truma and they're eating truma as the bechlam, not an indicator of their halachic status.
Well, okay. When an Eved eats truma, is it only that he eats the truma that the master gives him, or could he eat truma from any kohen?
I'm not sure myself.
Again, that obviously that may answer. Like you said, you have to eat bifnei rabbi.
All right, that was his answer. You have to only eat bifnei rabbi. Let's just see very quickly.
That Eved had to wear some sort of necklace that showed that he was an Eved.
That's what it sounds like. It had to be some form of recognition. I never thought about it, but the Maisa, that's the what should have to come out. He should have to wear a sign, you know, that I'm the property of him, and the male, no one will ever make a mistake. Rabbi, in the footnote of Mishnah Zabaran, he has a shtickle different mahalach about how far the Gemara really means it, but we'll leave it for now. But it's a nice back and forth between Rabbi Menashe Klein and Rabbi Kotler. Okay. Now, they probably disagreed with other things also, because Rabbi Kotler was also against community Irvin, and Menashe Klein was very pro-community Irvin, so they probably disagreed on that as well. But let's just see one mahalach from Reb David Pivarsky, and then we'll come back to why this has anything to do with our sugi and ksubis. Meaning, how did I schlep this in the beginning? Where did it have to do with anything in Ksubis that we were learning 3 weeks ago? It happened to be a Geshmak Asugya, but how did I schlep it in? We'll see in a sec. But let's just see Rav Dovid Bavarsky has a nice little Torah over here. We want to go back to being Mazbe with the Taz. Again, what did the Taz say? The Taz said that a Mamzer Koyin is allowed to eat Truma. But I'm not sure if he's allowed to be Matam Elimesim or other things. So Zog Rav Dovid Bavarsky, Vinei L'chayru HaYimokam Levar. The Be'emes HaTaz Soiver, Nami the Mamzer Havei Cholol, the Rizchal Mikuna. He wants to tell you that Avada the Taz holds that a Mamzer Koyin is like a Chol. He lost Kedushas Kuhuna. But Rak the Sover, the Alkoponim Psul Chalolis Loi Havei Bo, he doesn't have the Psul Chalolis. The Torah says that a Chol has Dinim to him. This guy does not get those Dinim. Ulchein Lenin Chum, Avada Eichel, says Lari Chum, because he's not a Chol. He's Nishkin Chol, the Gemara says. He's not a Chol. A Chol is only when you marry someone from a Psul Kuhuna. You're not a Chol. So then why can't you become the Tam of the Mason? Because again, why does someone need truma? This is what we spoke about last week. A person needs truma because he's zera aroi. Even though he doesn't, it's not called a coin. Aye, so why does a chol not eat truma? Chol is also zera aroi. The chol in eichel have rak mishum diesh b'psul chalolus. Says Reb Dov Pavarsky, alom neshavart. I mean, the starting point is like we said last week. Everyone eats truma as long as you're part of the family. Like girls eat truma, and a mamzer eats truma, you're all part of the family. So why does a cholol not eat truma? He's also part of the family. Zakhtar, because he has a special psul. You're not only part of the family, but you have a psul on you. You're a family member, meta psul. And a family member with a psul can't eat truma. But Zakhtar, but a mamzer...
Well, maybe not. Maybe you're not considered Zera Aaron if you're a cholol. Maybe you're not part...
That would be harder to be mazber.
I mean, even though you're a biological descendant, but that... That's right. Not the definition of Zera Aaron.
Okay, and that would be the other way to go. The other way to learn it would be is that you lose your status of the family, you're not considered Zera Aaron. He wants to say, Avada, you're biologically Zera Aaron, but you have a psul. The Meila zogt in very geschmack. Vimkein hocha de imba psul chalolos, but a mamzer doesn't get that psul. So therefore, since a mamzer doesn't get that psul, the Meila he retains his Zera Aaron status. If he has a Zera Aaron status, Meila we understand why he's allowed to eat truma. This so far we said along these lines till now. We were saying such alumnus that the din of achilas truma, we proved this from Ptsudaka, that the din of achilas truma is not tolling kedushas kuhuna. The din of achilas truma is tolling zera Aaron. Aye, so only Kasha was, how do you justify a cholol? So Seth wants to tie in a cholol loses his status of zera Aaron. Bavarsky wants to say zera a cholol has a specific psul, meaning we give him a piece of paper that says, I'm sorry, you can't eat truma, even if you are technically zera Aaron. Aye, so now he finishes. V'hod the mesafkul on the inyan tuma. So why was the Taz not sure about tuma? Haynu didn't stop again. Tuma havei nami kimoi truma. Alom neshashayil, says Reb Dov Pavarsky. What's the pshat that a kohen is not allowed to be metama? Is that because it affects his kuhuna? I kimoi truma davi israel zera aaron after the schal makuna. Is it a din being zera aaron? V'raki miyesh b'psul chalolus mutal tama lemesin. Avo meim b'psul chalolus havei isra tuma kimoi doichot truma. Meaning, what's the pshat that a kohen is not allowed to be metameh? Is it because he carries a certain kedusha, and that kedusha prevents him from being metameh? Or it's a vayter, a biological thing. Vibalt, you're Zera Aaron is not allowed to be metameh. So it says, that's the nafkamina. That's what the Taz wasn't sure about. Because the cholol is still Zera Aaron. Aye, maybe it's about kedusha's kuhuna. Well, maybe not. Oy, the name of the isa tumah havirak machmas kuhuna. The need of machmas kedusha's kuhuna, become akabon machmas kuhuna. But, so he wants to break it down to how do you understand the Isser Tumah by a coin? Is it because he has either Kedushas Kuhuna, or because he has the status of Zera Aaron, or not? And that's going to be the suffix of the Taz. Okay, good. Why did I bring this into our sugya? So look at number 11. Let's go back to a Gemara we learned a long time ago.
Well, now we're back to the original, now we're back to the original Taz, right? Is the Heter Truma and the Psul and the Isser of Tuma, are they separate or are they
100%? 100%. That's where we started. Exactly. So let's go back to the Gemara Ksubas that we started off with a bunch of weeks ago. The Gemara had a Kasha. Rabbi Akiva, the Omer Inktushin types of Mechavlam. If you remember the Gemara said, it says in the Pasuk V'loi Si Elisha, you have to be able to marry the woman you were Ma'anis. So the Gemara had a Kasha. What does it mean to be able to marry her? Does it mean you're halachically allowed to marry her, or does it mean you're allowed to stay married to her? So the Gemara says, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, what happens if you have a case of a Chavilavim? Chavilavim, where the marriage goes through, but we don't let you stay married. The Gemara says, well, it doesn't matter, because Rabbi Akiva holds you can't get married to a Chavilavim. What's the Nafkamina? So the Gemara says, And after me to be a model can go to Kirib Simoy, the Tanya Simoy, Min Akol, author of Akiva Mamzer, and Chotz Mamoral Kain Gadol. So we said, no, a model Kain Gadol is the exception to the rule. Even though it's a Chavi Lav, the Kedusha still goes through. How do I know Kedusha goes through? Shari Omer Torah, Lo Yikach Vele Yichalo. It says in the Pasuk, Lo Yikach Vele Yichalo, don't marry and don't profane. Chalul and Huasa Vein Asa Mamzer. There's a special Zer Sakasov that the baby becomes a Chol and the baby doesn't become a Mamzer. So 1 second. If there's never such a Metzias as a Kain Mamzer, then what's the Chiddush over here? Beishlom, if there's such a Metzias where the Kain could be a Kain Mamzer. So the Torah is telling me over here, you should know, Lo Yikach V'Leichal, that over here the Chiddush is that the baby is only a Chol and not a Mamzer. But there's no such Metzias called a Mamzeris Kain. So what's the Pasuk telling me? Lo Yikach V'Leichal, the Chiddush over here is that when Almana lives with a Kain Gadol, the baby's a Chol and the baby's not a Mamzer. But if a Mamzer is the same thing as a Chol, then what's the Torah talking about? If the Dar Metzias that when the baby becomes Nifkam, the baby could be a Mamzer also, so then why is the Torah even speaking out the difference between a Chol and a Mamzer? So the Chayrat, this Gemara that we started off with weeks ago, should be very totally in how to understand, is very important when you talk about this Shail. Because this Gemara is saying that I need a special exercise cost to tell me. Lo Yikach V'lo Yichal. The Pasuk is telling me that you're not allowed to take it on Mon L'Kohen Gadol, because if you take it on Mon L'Kohen Gadol, the baby becomes a Chol. And what? La'afuke, that the baby doesn't become a mamzer. Now, if you're telling me anyways that in this relationship the baby's going to become, that there's no such thing as a kain mamzer, meaning there's no such metzias as a kain mamzer, it's impossible. Right? So then what's the chiddush? The pasuk tells me, well, lo yikach, lo yichalo. The Torah tells me, well, it's not a cholo, but it's not a mamzer. Chalul and uasa, ve'in asa mamzerim, it doesn't produce a mamzer. Why would I have thought it does? Because it's not Shaykh Mamzeris by a Kohen. Because once the baby loses its Kedusha, so there's not possible to be this needs to be Mazber better. But we'll leave it off. How it works back to our Gemara. But there's a couple of different ways. The Chazanish read it one way, the Varsky read it another way. I think we'll have to leave it, but then to start it off with the next year in 2 weeks from now. But I just want to share with the Olam Avart. I wanted to say at the beginning of this year, and I forgot. One of the Niftarim in Meiron was a brother-in-law by a member of my shul. And his family told me that when Rabbi Biederman went to be Menachem Avil, he said about Gevalde Gevart. You can't say it over in many circles because they won't appreciate it, but in our shir, I think we can understand it. Melch Biederman said like this, the Gemara says in Kedusha, the Sholei Shutfin Ba'odom. There's three partners, mother, father, and Hashem. So he asked the Kash, he said, so how could Hashem take away a child without asking permission from the parents? My child. We're partners. A partner can't make a massive partner business deal without consulting his partners. It's like, well, gosh, I never thought of it. So, frankly, Melch Biederman, who gave Hashem the right to pull out of the deal but just without consulting me? So he told him, because there's a din called Zachon La'odim Shalei Bafonov. You can do a schus for something without their consent. And Mela, he told the parents, this is Taka's schus. Zachon La'odim Shalei Bafonov, this is Taka's schus. So Mela, I don't need your consent. Hashem said to the parents, I don't need your consent. It's like a valk insight. And you can't say this over in many circles, they won't appreciate it. But because we talk about these svaras, we understand what these things mean. It's a gewaldig, gewaldig thing. And he also told me that Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich was Menachem Avil by the Kahn family, the boy who lived in Cleveland, said he lost his father many years ago. His father was a Rebbe, he was never hit by a car. And this woman was an almana, and now she lost a son, which is horrific. So he told the woman, he said, you should know, all of Klai Yisrael needs to do tshuva for what happened. But you don't need to do tshuva. Your family suffered so much by this tragedy, that is your tshuva. Which is an unbelievable insight from different gedolim. So I just thought the Olam would gain from such a vort, because we understand what does it mean, Zachal Adam Shal Gafanav, what do these things mean. But Mitzvah Shem, next Sunday, we are going to do a sugya on Shavuos, on a sugya about Kovet HaMadei Chachamim. B'lineder, this Tuesday night, we're going to have the regular shir trying to wrap up Erevin, and we'll have to figure out what we're doing next week with the Chumash and Halacha Shir, because Tuesday night's Matzah Yom Tov. But Mitzvah Shem, next Sunday, we'll be having our regular scheduled Shir, but it's going to be on a Shavuos topic. I'm assuming everyone can make it the Sunday morning. It's Erev Yom Tov, but I'm assuming everyone can make it. But if not, it'll be recorded for those who want to listen to it later. Okay, everybody, say